like hearing him running his.
Yeah. Hi, this is Lailia Weidman. I'm back with Liv Williams and Levi and a beanbag, and we're on the floor. And
Levi. And?
And we're just going to continue this oral history, and it's an active, active oral history.
Oh, God.
Liv, I'm curious if there's somewhere that you'd like to start right now.
As far as what?
As far as, like, where does your oral history start?
I'm on a quest to find that now as far as my oral history. I think it all started back. All right, when I think of oral history, I feel like, when did I find my voice and purpose? And that happened during high school. Not even before that. I really made it, I really wanted to be a part of just bringing all the people together and celebrating, finding reasons to celebrate instead of just Christmas or like Easter. I wanted us to celebrate being one, you know? So that started around middle school age, my prepubescent age, because I was always active. Oh, Levi. What happened? When did your oral history start, Levi? Yes?
Liv, where was middle school for you?
Here in Hudson. Montgomery. This is the Montgomery Middle School. It was actually supposed to be like 10 to like 12, right? Yeah, it was in Hudson.
Yeah. And what?
Stop.
What aspects of that time helped you find your voice?
What aspects? What do you mean by that?
What was going on around that time?
Finding out my... he's about to knock down Levi. Levi Jackman Prescott Turner. If you don't take this... I can still talk, right?
Yeah, it's picking up.
I can still talk and be a parent?
Mm-hmm.
Well... In all honesty, it took some depression. It took me questioning my existence and sexuality. Hey, man, to actually really challenge myself to wanna like, wait, what was the question?
Yeah, what? What was going on at that time that helped you find your voice?
Oh, yes. I don't know. I believe that the start of me questioning my sexuality... Oh. Sorry. Levi, you banged your head? I understand, but you're also all over the place, so there's only little of much that I can do. I'm sorry that you hurt yourself, but are you going to calm down, or are you going to keep on banging your head? Every time when you bang your head, you lose brain cells. Are you done? Is it right here? Your eyebrows? Did you hit your eyes? Or you want to lay down? Oh, you're ready? You're ready to comply, huh? That wall just knocked some sense into you. Well, I'm fine. also kicking in a bad habit, so it was on the pacifier. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I understand. Hey, I used to hit my head all the time back when I was your age. I don't remember it, but it happened. And pretty soon, you know, your head won't be as lumpy. You want to try again? You want to take a nap? I wish I could turn off the lights.
We can turn off the lights.
I feel like I'm stressing you out as
it is
since 10 o'clock.
It's fine. Stressing you. A little bit. It's true. I'm going to turn off the lights.
Wait a minute. I'll do it. No,
you stay.
Okay, please. Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. This is so crazy. This is, all
right. Okay, deep oral history. We can try. Would you like to try going back to where you were at? You were saying there were some things going on at that time of your life in middle school. Questioning sexuality, something.
Dude, if I was to go, yeah, let's go back. Let's go back. It's actually making me want to itch. Just thinking about it. Because I'm realizing where my depression or even, like, my percentage of self-hatred came from. But it didn't start with me. I was raised in a very strict Christian home. Went to a Christian church. Even before middle school, I went to a Catholic school. Before a Catholic school, Baptist Christian school. all very much so strict, very well and disciplinary. So coming out of that and having the liberation to see kids that are coming from different type of the economic spectrum, social class, you know, that was a culture shock. Because my family's like, oh, Olivia, you know, you have to speak proper. Don't speak Patwa like we are, because I grew up with Patwa speaking people, so I caught up the lingo until my grandma came one summer and just beat my butt till I, like, Olivia, you need to talk right. In middle school, I started cursing, and I knew what it did to my, like, virtue. I felt my virtue leaving my body when I cursed. When I started seeing a girl, I'm like, oh, wow, she's really attractive. She's very beautiful, you know? Why is she beautiful? Even noticing things about, like, bullying and all that type of stuff and figuring out the rights and wrongs in that time of my life, it brought on depression. But I wasn't depressed like, oh, I hate my life. I didn't know what life was. I was depressed like, why is this being allowed to happen? My feelings, my emotion, you know, everything that I'm standing for in religion, why is it now, like, it's all of that I like is bad. It's not liberation, it's a sin. So I was trying to fight for, like, a reason at that time during my depression. And that's when I'm like, okay, what else is out there? You know, who am I? What am I? Am I an alpha? Am I a beta? Like, which people will trigger me to do this? And I literally remember myself, even reading the Bible and comparing myself in the Bible to, like, school. I was very heavy on that because my family, strict Christians, they were very strict Christians.
What did that Christianity look like in your home?
Hypocrisy. It looked like a bunch of hypocrites saying, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe a little bit of sodomy, I don't know. That goes with this hypocrisy. It just wasn't... Christianity wasn't what it stood for in my house. As far as bringing people together, you know, it was a belief system that kept us out of hell and kept us safe, not really united. I mean, we looked for each other as family should, but Christianity and prayer and stuff like that, we didn't really do it. We didn't really, like, practice, like, Christianity unless it came from, like, unless it's, like, towards pagan holidays or something, like Christmas or Easter, where we all, like, got by the tree and thanked Jesus Christ for being born. Now it's different. I think because the world is probably ending soon, they're more clinging on to the word. Am I sounding weird? I feel like I'm sounding weird right now. Jesus.
I wanted to go back to something you said about patois and, growing up in a patois-speaking home, and curious if you want to say more about that.
Patois is different from, it's not like Creole patois, like, you know, sakafet, like Haitian. It's a broken English. So patois is kind of like it stemmed from English colonizing Jamaica and, you know, giving them the language, the goods, the basically the learning, the social being of English people. And Jamaicans back in the day, they were like, you know, Africans, sick Africans dumped off from the slave ship, you know, onto a land that got, you know, met up with these English colonies. And that's where they adapted to that language. I think of it as culture. I love it. I used to speak it. Every time when I go to Jamaica, my tongue, like, you know, it's like you know the Book of Psalms, or even reading the Bible, the King James Version. It's like we always constantly speak in parables, and that's where I feel like my poetry comes from, because I'm a part of the poetic community. So it just plays a part of it. I don't use it as much because I'm assimilated to American culture. Although I do discipline my son with that tone, with patois, because my family did that with me, so he knows I'm serious. When I'm in my house, we speak patois. When we're outside, we speak the King's Diddly. We speak like, you know, like how I'm speaking now. Pat the booty, pat the booty, pat the booty, pat the booty.
There's like a couple directions I want to go. One is I'd really like to hear more about poetry and what role that has in your life. But then I'm also so curious to just kind of hear more unfolding about like family and belief. Do you have a desire to go one way or the other?
I go all over all the time.
It'll all get there.
I'm trying to get there, okay? They all tie in together. My value and my beliefs is what befalled the start of my depression, but I'm trying to find a different word for it. Depression is such an epidemic, but it's also like a misunderstanding of where you're at and what you're seeing and what you want to see. You know, it's kind of like an illusion in my sense. Before, I used to find security, and I was so smart. I was so smart, and my family, like, just praised me for being a smart kid, always writing poetry growing up, always reading books, reading the Bible like it was a bedtime story, like the Grimm Brothers or something. Like, I was always on it. But growing up, I feel like being introduced to the world perversed my purpose. My family thinks I'm perverse because of my sexuality. A lot of my poetry involves me coming out of that oppressive state where I cannot be accepted. So it also, my passions and my hurt, my everything that I've been through with my family, me questioning my existence, is a part of my poetry. Because it's basically like everything, I don't know, every chapter in life had to do with a poem. Or my poem had, it definitely, in most cases, foretell where I was going through my poetry. Even my family and their beliefs, they've actually stopped sharing with me their beliefs based on some of the poetry that I've written or how they're characterized in my work. They don't want to accept that. But they don't want to accept me either, so what the hell, man? I can't curse. I can say what the hell. I can curse? Oh, man. I won't curse. My son's here. It's like drinking a margarita and driving with your son in the backseat. It's pretty dangerous. Thanks.
Was there a moment where words or poetry, like drew you to it?
To it.
How did you encounter poetry? How did it emerge?
Well, they gave us blank. My fifth grade teacher. His name was Mr. Farnham. He gave everybody. I don't know if I'm grammatically speaking well, but. He gave everybody blank books for us to journal in, and I choose to make a book about what I've been going through, especially in middle school. I don't think my mom was happy with me. I think she knows that I was questioning myself. She couldn't understand me. Plus, I wasn't getting good grades, so she would always discipline me in a harsh way, unnecessary. We can talk it out. We don't have to be physical with one another. So, just like Negro spirituals getting you through, you know, getting slaves through slavery, I just felt enslaved in my childhood, you know? I felt like there wasn't any love, so I want to create love with my poetry and question why, you know, love is not how I'm portraying it. So. Even now, I'm still trying to find that. I've been going through this cycle, and I feel like that's why some of my community members that I want to reach out to are taking their time with reaching out to me because of my highs and lows, you know? So it's also like a gift and a curse to be able to formulate yourself or what you want to see. You're expressing a vacation or a getaway. And at the same time, being trapped in it, where it kind of keeps you from the normal world or the outside world. And a lot of that, I feel like, is from my mom. Not blaming her, but because of our relationship.
Little bit of a turn, but what are some of the things that make up your days now? Like, what does a day look like for you?
Working a 9-to-5. Nowadays, I've been really digressing off of like other people. that have been in my life intimately. Not a lot. I'm not like a out there wild person, but like just coming to it, a lot of acceptance. So as I'm working my 9-to-5 so that I can provide for Levi, I'm coming home and working on my consistency with my son, and not being distracted. And it's actually been great. Like, it took me some time. And I think it's just the reactions that I'm getting from the people around me that I've been trying to reach out to has made me work on my discipline. So nowadays, if it's not productivity, I'm questioning it. If it's not me typing up something, some scenario, some activity that I would like to do with the people that I want to connect with, especially kids, you know. My meditation is very much so a part of my life. Even Levi, you'll see Levi trying to stand on his head and try to lift his head up, or lift himself up on his head, because he will literally see me drop down and just focus on my breathing, because I don't want to be medicated for my anxiety or for my focus. I'm fighting that. So nowadays I'm just processing and just reconstructing my whole schedule as of this month. I was born June 8th, you know, same day as Kanye West, no relation. But, I don't know. I feel like I've matured a lot these past 3 months, where now it's like, oh, damn. That's not coming from the back there. That's my stomach. Do you hear it? You hear my stomach? Oh, that's embarrassing. Let me just... All right. I'm up. All right. Can you hear me properly still?
That's good.
All right. I'll stay in this position because, my back hurts anyways. Am I babbling?
I'm right here with you.
Thanks. I've been working on getting my educational self in order. I've literally had deep conversations with my mom, and sometimes I battle that with that too, because she puts me under a harsh light, and you know, made it seem like there's nothing to show for myself nowadays because I'm not in school, or I'm not giving her a lump sum of money. But I've also put myself in a debt where it's as soon as I get my paycheck, all my money's gone. Do you know? Or Levi is very expensive. Gas to go to work and back is expensive. So, my mental health has really been on watch as far as me checking in with myself. And that's what led me to digress from a lot of people. You smell like baby milk. All right.
How old is Levi?
He's about to be, he's one. Let's just say one.
You said earlier before we started recording that he brings meaning to you. And I'm curious, just what are the ways that you spend time together?
Some of the ways that we spend time together is with nature. That's how we connect. You know, when he's in front of a TV or technology, I lose him in that. And so, and my mom is very strong about, oh, spending time with Levi is TV time. We're going to both sit on the couch and watch TV. And he becomes more entrapped in the TV and the bright lights than interacting. And I feel like, you know, that's a major thing with me is communication, you know. Or just cooking. He loves watching me cook. He don't like to eat the food that I cook for him, but he loves watching me cook the food. So food in itself, it's a language that takes structure, it takes a system. Yeah.
What do you like to cook?
Anything. I like to cook. I'm more so liking to cook meatless dinners. You know, stuff with more life in it. Not, you know, I like my meat. But as I'm learning about the effects of it and getting into Dr. Sebi, I've been trying to eat more alkaline foods or foods that have more, you know, getting into more of a produce style instead of processed style foods. You can actually see the difference in a baby, what a vegan baby looks like. Even I'm not trying to judge none, because he likes his meat, but like, you know, it's having a clean palate. You know, you're growing a brain out there. I don't know. Can you pick up on me well?
Not really.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe we can do like a time check. I think we've done about 40 minutes, including like the first part and this part. So,
How long is it supposed to be?
I mean, it can be up to you. Like, usually it's about an hour, so we might say that now we have 20-ish more minutes. But that's also up to you. I would think for recording, we might want to try back there just for sound. If you want to do another 20 minutes and or we can, and what would you like?
Oh.
Our time.
I would like to talk more about what I'm getting into as far as like,
that's fine.
I want to talk about the future.
Great.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That does make sense, of course, talking about the future. So I've moved a lot around people, places, things, with and without my son for the past couple years of me trying to formulate this movement. And it's a movement is a lot to cultivate. A movement is something that you have to will manifest properly with the people that you can trust, the people that you have consistency with, the people that you feel secure with. So since Levi was formulated in my belly, and I questioned my gender roles because I was very masculine, and carrying a child is very a feminine thing. I've become more like intuitive with what's needed, what's masculine and feminine about our world. And then lo and behold, you hear a lot of patriarchal this and what's the word? Not misogynistic. That man-loving, what is it? Starts with a B, I think. It's not misogyny. It's right there with patriarchal. I don't know. But more masculine-run society and really, keying into, oh, our women are oppressed. Oh, we're back to that cycle. Oh, we're oppressed. Help us. War, love, deficiency. What are we going to do? I've been just really focusing on the content of, instead of questioning or doubting the appearance of our youth, it's more so the theories of our youths. What is our generation thinking about? What is the niche? What are some of their interpersonal skills that they're struggling with? So I've been doing a little case study here and there and working as a single parent. No help, no child care unless it's the daycare. Other than that, my son's very demanding. So it takes time. But I've been working on finding a plan where I can financially support my family and key in and start programs for the youth that are in need of this. But there's also programs that's already starting. I just want to focus on what we're doing right now. Recording to make history. So.
When you dream on these future programs, or think about existing programs, what do you want them to look like?
I want them to look free range. I want them to look like de-schooling the kids. I want to de-school the kids from the school system. And I feel like that's what's going on now, but I just want to be a part of that in the broadcasting way, because that was always my thing. Was I ever consistent on it? Ask me. Back then? Yeah. Nowadays? I can't. And that's where I'm maneuvering into right now. So the program that I want to implement with neighboring nonprofits, it's called Alpha. Alpha Leaders Providing Healing Alliance. So some of the programs that I would like to cultivate is to help kids heal with some of the things that I went through at their age, through media, through art, having it strict on just media and cultivating news. Things that I've been done with WGXC when I did the youth radio show Radio Explosion, that really just triggered me to want to stay on the path of working with social media, working with kids who are still trying to fight for a voice, So a lot of that would be a lot of de-schooling, a lot of inward searching on their terms. I don't want to grab something out of the kid. I want the kid to grab what they've been hiding, even the questions of what they want or how they want to fulfill themselves in this world, and just let them lead and give them guidance. So I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of online workshops on how to formulate kids, how to not formulate kids. I already made one. Damn it. Damn. How to attract and kind of like consistently attract a child's brain to wanting to attract information, to wanting to find information, to want to separate the conspiracy theories to the growing information that's needed for the brain's development in any age, even mother's age. Mother age, once you have a baby, do you have kids? Once you have a baby, your hormones change. Like, I'm bald, but I had hair back then. And just physically, I seen my hair, like, you know, just like the craft, like, freaking just falling out my head. And I'm like, what the hell? But on my insides, that instinct that you get from parenting needs its own support circle. Just like kids nowadays, they're out there twerking for Birkin. And if I took you someplace where these little kids, boys and girls, are being hypersexualized and just feeding into the social, like the social norm of drug dealing money or acting this way in ghetto and not having that proper bridge to connect, like, you'd be surprised. So I thank God for Kite's Nest and, you know, Operation Unite. There's Perfect 10. There's after-school programs that kind of, like, sweep some of these kids off the streets. But even then, going to them, they're still struggling in that environment to connect with themselves. So not saying I'm the messiah of that, but I just want to be a part of that team. But it takes time.
Did you have experiences with the youth radio project? You call it Youth Explosions?
Radio Explosions.
Radio Explosions. That, like, modeled this kind of learning for you?
Yeah. Sarah and Kaya, they started me off. Your little sister was like, hey, I think you're good for radio. You should really come by and do this hosting program. You're very radical, X, Y, and Z. And once they kind of sworn me in and taught me how to maneuver, how to connect with the audience online or, you know, broadcast in the cars, or how to formulate an interview, how to, like, formulate a show, what is needed, you know, how to multitask, it stimulated me. It built on my brain. It made me want for more. How can I perfect this transition, you know? And it gets me off of hating myself or questioning why am I here. Because a lot of society and mediums nowadays, especially on TV, they make you want to question what's beautiful, what's not, what's smart, what's not, who's right, what's not. A lot of black and white. And, you know, I'm queer, so I'm just like a whole lot of rainbows coming out the wazoo. So, yeah. Did I answer your question? All right.
How are you doing for time?
In my life?
Oh, I was actually just thinking right now, like, we kind of went about another 20. I think we have maybe, you want to go another chunk?
You can give me, you make this the chunkiest interview. I got time.
Okay.
This is towards something I love to do.
Do you want to say anything about queer life in the Hudson Valley? Living queer in Hudson.
If you live in Hudson, you're queer. That's how I feel. It's fucked up. We're good on time?
We're just checking recording levels. Okay.
Okay. I feel like in Hudson, oh man, everybody's going to be able to hear this.
You could change your mind.
No, why would I change my mind? All right. In Hudson, being a super minority, black, queer, single parent, middle class, and just noticing the different types of queer, I'm in my own little lane here. There's a lot of queers of different rays of the rainbow. There's a lot of cliques out here, like, you know. I've never been to Little Debs, Oasis, whatever. It's a different type of queer that I don't think I'm ready for. I'm more of that laid back, hey, Netflix and queer, you know what I mean? I feel like everybody wants to do it. I feel like there's a lot of hormones in the food that's being taken in, that's triggering some of, like, something. I know it's not just, like, spiritual. It's not just spiritual. It's with the spiritual. But what triggers it is what we're eating that's teetering our spectrum in a queer spectrum. So for me, like, I have learned what polygamy, being polyamorous in a monogamous relationship, exploring men, exploring women. I know you can't do that in Hudson, because Hudson's already a cesspool of, like, Hills Have Eyes babies running around here, and just, you know, you never know. Even the outside of Hudson, but within Hudson, I become more comfortable of being myself, because it's such a small community that you've grown up, that's seen you from out the closet till now. But I feel like a lot of people coming into Hudson with their type of queer, the city queers, it's a different level of queerdom that it kind of, like, irritates me. You know, are you from out of town too? Damn, you're queer? Ah, damn it, I didn't mean you. I didn't mean you. I meant, like, the gentrified queers. Are you gentrified? Okay, I don't know. I'm a zen queer, not a gentrified queer. There we go. I'm learning about Audre Lorde or something. What is it, Audre Lorde? I still don't know her. I have yet to know about the history of my own queer history. Maybe because I came from a Christian background. I told you in the beginning of the interview what it was. I'm still, the only thing that I can know about my queerness is that I like to, oh, that was scary. I like to intimately connect with people who are intelligent. They called me a gender fluid. I'm like, I sound like a car part. I don't want to be a gender fluid, but I guess that's what I am in gay world or queer world, which is weird, you know, or non-binary. I dated some girl who hated that about me, and she broke up with me because I said, I'm non-binary, I guess. I don't really associate. I'm just kind of spirit. I'm an omnipresent, you know? And I feel like some gay people nowadays are, like, entitled, like they're using it to make a fashion statement and not, like, using it to understand, like, what's evolving from Homo sapiens. We are actually Homo sapiens, homosexuals. It's a lot of homo. I don't know. I don't really know. That's a really interesting and very complicated question that you just asked. I hope I answered it properly.
Yeah, very properly.
How do you feel about it? Can I feed off the book? I know. I'm sorry. You want to go home?
I would be happy to talk about that after. I think for the form of the oral history.
Okay.
I kind of got to...
Yeah. Keep a business face.
Keep it. Um,
Is there anything before we close that you want to put on the record?
Try, if you don't know yourself, or if you don't feel yourself, or if you feel less than yourself, try not to slip into that word depression, because depression is a jail in itself, is its own purgatory. I want to put in the record for those who are fighting to make history, to fight it, those that are fighting to get out of their history, to make new history, to make oral history, is to challenge different words and the words that's been channeled into us so that you can evolve and become authentic in your own purpose, so you're not fighting to be or live for somebody else's purpose, or feel like you're on here, in here, on purpose, on this world, on purpose. You know, I feel like nowadays, especially people that are struggling to know their history, or even now in their 30s, 40s, trying to figure out what history is, a lot of it's been blocked because they've been in a different dementia. But I wouldn't call it depression, because now that I'm thinking about it, it is a sadness. It is a great sadness to feel like you're questioning yourself 24/7, or if you're on the highs and lows of life and trying to feel the equilibrium of that. Really challenge yourself to finding different terms, or fight for terms that you want to cultivate within yourself, by just channeling different things. Not saying sexually. Actually, sexual intimacy or sexual connections is the deepest connection that can get you into some whole lot of juju. That's like, you're gonna have to have a whole lot of holy water and mystical rattles to get yourself out of, but like, just connect with different terms, out of the box activities that will get you out of comfort zone, that you can be like, all right, challenge completed. That's how I wanna leave this interview. Challenge somebody to challenge themselves. And Wakanda forever. There we go.
Wait, I have one more question.
You have one more question?
Just one more. Sorry, it was a fake out. just thinking about the possibility of, like, Levi being a school kid, going to the library in the future, having a little oral history project. Is there any little message you might want to send out to future Levi?
Oh, son, if you're reading this, I didn't make it. No, I'm just kidding. That's fucked up. No, that's messed up, man. No, message to grown Levi. Levi, are we good for time?
I just want to make sure I'm still recording. Yeah, we got you. Okay.
Young Levi, I just want you to keep on fighting. Fight the illusion and know your history. Your mother and your father are both warriors from an alpha spectrum, the alpha part of the spectrum of just being, and just being an energy. So there is no excuse as to why it's, you know, you don't have a fight in you, because you came from fighters. So, like, you know, you're going to do a lot of de-schooling for yourself. Your name, Levi. Levi stands for the tribe of the priest. So there, you have everything that you need. You just need to keep up with your purpose and just make history happen. Do it for Mama. I'll get you some fruit snacks when you do it, when you get older. Because cavities is a son of a gun to fix. But just remember that you set the pace, Mr. Levi Jackman Prescott Thomas. And I'm proud of you. That's what I would say to Levi. I would like to keep it short and sweet, because the moment that I tell my son which direction to move, if it's not to watch, other than watch out for the illusions and know your worth in yourself, then I'm like, I feel like I'm writing his story. And in order to make his story, he has to create his story. Does that make sense? Yeah, I love the guy. I want him to do right by his means. Do you have any more questions?
I think that's a really great place to stop.
Aye, aye.
Thank you, Liv. I really learned so much about your philosophy and some of your journey and your outlook, and I'm really gonna be like with these stories for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't confuse you?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, amen, sister, amen. I appreciate you for having me in here.